following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
I found myself in a unique situation last winter of deciding if it was time to pursue my dream of playing in the NFL.
Option play near side. Pitch back to Amir. He gets a nice seal block on the edge. Amir to the 40, 35, first down, 30. Amir cutting back to the middle field, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Amir dives. Touchdown, Nebraska. What a spectacular run by Amir Abdullah.
I've come to realize that life is bigger than football and that my chances of long-term success in life will be greatly enhanced by completing my college education.
Hands it off left side. Amir blasting around the corner. 25. Amir 30. 35. 40. Amir to midfield. Abdullah racing down the far boundary. 30. 25. Ripped out of bounds and around the 20-yard line. You asked for it. There it is. Big play, Huskers.
It is truly an honor to play for this program, to represent the N, and to one day walk across that stage with my diploma in hand.
So now 4th and 15, here's the game. 33 seconds left. Kellogg gets the snap. Steps up to avoid the rush. Looking downfield, avoids another rush. Has a man open in the flat, throws it out to Abdullah. Makes a catch at the 35, and he's got the first down to the 40-yard line.
I'm Amir Abdullah, and I play for Nebraska.
Trips to the near side. Kellogg gets a shotgun snap. Final play of the game. Ron waiting for the wideouts to get downfield. Launches the throw down toward the goal line. Going up. Ball tipped in the air.
Caught. Touchdown. Jordan Westerkamp. Nebraska wins the game on the final play of the contest. Oh, baby.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. What a scene in Lincoln, baby.
Nebraska will snap the ball a length of the football away from the goal line. And they want to throw. What a play call. Anunua. He's going to go 99 yards. Holy cow, what a call.
Frazier adding more numbers, more yards to those.
Oh, they don't have them yet. Look at Tommy Frazier. How many tackles can one man break? Touchdown.
Going to Kenny Bell. Going to make the catch at the 1. Kenny to the 10, 15, 25. Kenny to the 30. He's got some room. Kenny Bell to the 40. Kenny Bell's got one man to beat the kicker. To the 50, to the 40, to the 35, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Nebraska. A 98-yard kickoff return for Kenny Bell.
They're going to put it down, yep, at the 47-yard line. If he were to hit it, it'll go in the books as the longest in school history. This is an attempt of 57 yards. Does he have enough? Is it long enough? He got it!
Sam Fultz gets a good snap. Good boomy kick. This one's sailing towards the end zone. Bounces at the 3. Takes a Husker hop. Huskers will down it inside the 5. Sam Burch scooped it up and held on to it at the 1-yard line. Terrific punt of 52 yards.
Eric Crouch pumps once. He's in trouble. Eludes a tackle. Gets out of the end zone. He's to the 5. He's to the 10. Crouch to the 15. Out across the 20. Crouch to the 25. Out across the 30. 35, 40. Look out. He could go. He's to the 40. He's to the 30. He's to the 20. He's to the 10.
Sumner gets a shotgun snap, throws over the middle, intercepted, picked off Randy Gregory, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, a pick six for big old Randy Gregory. Back in the pocket, steps up, getting rushed, getting hit, getting dropped with a 25, a loose six more. Jared Crick gets another sack, his 9th of the year and his 6th in 2 weeks. Michigan with the ball, their own 39-yard line. Gardner turns, straight hand off to Green, hit the backfield, Huskers, Corey Cooper drills him, he loses 2 yards.
Phillips up the middle, explodes, 20, cuts to the right, and Phillips is out of bounds at the 11-yard line.
Zone read, hand off to Cross, big hole, 45-40, 35-30, Amani 25-20, 15-10-5, touchdown Amani Cross, oh baby!
Rodgers takes the ball at the 30, he's hit and got away, back upfield to the 35, to the 40, he's to the 45, he's to the 50, to the 45, to the 40, to the 35, to the 20, to the 10, he's all the way home!
And a snap to Tommy and they give him the trap play and it's Schlesinger inside the 5, and down for the touchdown, he's got the touchdown, it's the touchdown for Corey Schlesinger, it is history, 13-0, and
Friday. Hello, everyone. Big Ten Conference action begins tomorrow as Nebraska takes on Illinois. Doug Duda, Jimmy Langan with you on a full Friday of football talk. Sean Merriman of Big Ten Network is going to join us momentarily as we get into conference play. There's been a game already, Penn State beating Rutgers, and there are still some teams that won't open conference play, but there are five conference games this week. We'll talk about those and where we are heading into Big Ten play as to where we thought we would be a month ago. Also, Robin Walshett of Husker Online will join us later in the program, talk a little Big Red football, recruiting, basketball as well, and we'll talk with Jim Holton, the head coach of the Tri-City Storm. They open the 2014 season tonight skating at Lincoln, and they're off to a good start with a 6-0-1 preseason, which of course means nothing now, Jimmy, but at least there should be some positive vibes going into the regular season tonight.
Yeah, I would think if you go 6-0-1, you know, you've got the right people playing the right positions and you the right amount of time, don't change anything. Let's just see what happens from here on through.
So we'll talk with the coach today about all of that, his captain's picks, which were announced earlier this week, and getting the season underway. Plus, Pigskin Pick'em. We got 30 in the Cunningham's Vault to give away today. Big Daly's Deli combo meal, just for getting the trivia question right. And of course, Jimmy's selections as we get a little farther along. Now, how many selections do we have today? Have we figured that out yet? The number?
Yeah, I probably will give seven. I'll probably give seven picks. I have one I really like, and as soon as I give it to you, I'd get on your website immediately.
Because it will change.
It will. Yeah, this line will change. This line, and not because of what I said, but it will change by Saturday. So, but there's one game that we'll wait until later in the day. But it's probably my best bet I've had in maybe 2 or 3 years.
Whoa. Yeah. Whoa. Whoa, do we need to give an 800 number or an 888 number?
No, we don't need to do that. But it's something I'd really like pretty well.
Okay, folks, you want to hunker down here for the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio as we get this program underway on a Friday. The Ryder Cup is going on. The Europeans have just won a afternoon match to tie things up 2.5, 2.5. They lead in two, and the United States leads in the other. The United States won 2.5 to 1.5 in best ball. They're playing alternate shot here this afternoon. Well, the Big Ten gets underway with five games tomorrow. Had one, as we already said, between Penn State and Rutgers. Nebraska opens at Illinois. We're pleased to welcome into the Big Ten Network Sean Merriman, Doug Duda, and Jim Langan with you on the Doug and Daddy Show. Sean, good morning. Thanks for the time.
Hey, absolutely, guys. How are you today?
Well, great to catch up with you again and talk a little Big Ten football here. Are we ready? I mean, we got the little appetite wet. We were all jacked up for Penn State Rutgers. It didn't maybe turn out to be it was exciting at the end, but maybe not the game a lot of people thought. But we ready to go?
Yeah, I think so. I think we'll have a lot more points up on the board in some of these conference games this weekend, especially that Indiana-Maryland game, which is, I think, will turn out to be a really exciting game that you'll see me and my buddy Tom Deanhart joke that they're going to need to replace the light bulbs in this one because the score is going to be so high. So I think we'll see some fireworks this weekend and some Big Ten games, and that's a good one. And Minnesota-Michigan is another one that I think that fans are really going to be looking at this weekend.
Jimmy, I want to ask you about this one, too, because when we get to our Pigskin Pick'em, the line seems off on this Minnesota-Michigan game. It opened at about a touchdown, and now, and again, some of this is early season, but Michigan, it's went up. It's like 12 points right now.
Yeah, I think what's happened here is Minnesota is not as good in Vegas. You know what I'm saying? And the people in the Big Ten think Minnesota can play. You know, they beat Nebraska last year and had a couple nice games where they played well. But Minnesota is not getting much respect in Vegas, and they did not get much when they played at TCU. And when they played at TCU, the spread was high, and TCU covered easily.
Well, what do you think? Is this Michigan team, Sean, can they right the ship and maybe make a heck of a run here in conference play, or is the ship lost?
Well, first of all, I think it's pretty interesting that the line is going up given how inept both these teams' offenses have been as of late. I mean, Minnesota had one completion last weekend. Michigan's offense has been, you know, pretty terrible lately. So it's interesting that the line would be going up 12 points. I'd be surprised if one of these teams even scored that much, to be honest. both these offenses have really been struggling. You know, Minnesota's found success in running the ball, but their pass game has certainly been struggling. And as far as Michigan, I think that, you know, if they are going to ride the ship and turn this thing around, this is a game that they're absolutely going to have to win. It's interesting, you know, coming into the year, people were considering them a dark horse in the East, and now you're looking at it and saying, well, they need to win so many games to even make a bowl. So I don't know. You know, I think they could turn it around, but there hasn't been many signs of improvement lately with this team. We heard a lot how the passing game's improved. Devin Gardner's improved with his vision and being able to read defenses. And, you know, quite frankly, we just haven't seen it lately.
Sean even takes Minnesota, Jimmy, to win this game in his predictions this week, 17-10. So he's backing up the low scoring right there.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. You know, another line, though, that I think is interesting is I was playing Purdue, and it's about the same thing. It's about the same type line. Your thoughts on that?
Well, the main story in that game, I think, is with Iowa's quarterback, because there's a competition going on there. It's Jake Rudick has been the starter, but he got dinged up a little last week. C.J. Beathard came in and led them to a come-from-behind win over Pittsburgh. So the big question has been who's gonna start this game. I think that if Rudick's healthy, he probably will, but will C.J. Beathard play, and how much will he play? I think it's fair to say that, you know, Iowa's the favorite in that game, even though it's on the road, because Purdue hasn't really showed us a ton this year, although they have doubled their win total from the previous year. But I think that the key with that game is going to be, yeah, the quarterback play from Iowa, and if they can establish the run game. Their run game has not been that strong. We saw a little bit more of it last week, but up to that point, this hasn't been your typical Iowa ground-and-pound team.
Time with Sean Merriman of the Big Ten Network here at the top of the Doug and Daddy Show. Nebraska, Illinois, let's jump on it here. Nebraska looks like they should be better than the 20-point spread, but it's such a trap game, a sandwich game coming off the emotional win against Miami, Michigan State on the road next week, which will determine what this Nebraska team is. Sean, do you and the folks there at the Big Ten Network think Nebraska is a little bit better than you did a month ago or right where you thought they'd be?
Yeah, I think that they're probably a little bit better. I think it's fair to say that they're probably the favorite in the West right now, along with Wisconsin. But, you know, this is a team that struggled against McNeese State a few weeks ago, and then they went in and played really well against a pretty good Miami team. So, you never know, I guess, with this team, which group's going to show up. But, Amir Abdullah has looked incredible. He looks like a Heisman candidate, their running back. Tommy Armstrong is playing far better than I think anyone expected. His completions are up. He's spinning the ball really well. And this offense looks explosive. Like you mentioned, that game next weekend at Michigan State seems to be one of the top games that we'll have this season. But you kind of wonder, will Nebraska already be looking ahead to that one and kind of, you know, see what happens with this weekend's matchup against Illinois at home?
You know, the other game we have with the same type line as all the Northwestern, yeah. You know, at Penn State, same thing. We're giving just a little bit more in a touchdown. Your thoughts on that game?
Mm-hmm. Well, Penn State's defense has been outstanding this year, and I think coming into the year, a lot of people figured it would be the offense that would lead this team, and Christian Hackenberg's been good, passed for a lot of yards, has to cut down on the interceptions, but this Penn State defense has been the story of this team thus far that's led them to an undefeated record. Northwestern has struggled, certainly, and being at Penn State, I don't think that's going to do the Wildcats any favors. So I think that Penn State is, I think that it's fair to say that Penn State wins this game by double digits.
Maybe the most interesting of the non-conference games this week is Ohio State hosting Cincinnati. No one knows what to make now of Ohio State. What do you, Sean, make of Ohio State?
That's spot on. When I was talking to someone earlier today, I said I think I have a pretty good idea of every team in the Big Ten except Ohio State. I really don't know how good they are. I mean, they look terrible against a decent Virginia Tech team, and then they went out and just absolutely obliterated a Kent State team that was one of the better teams in college football 2 years ago. So it's tough to say about Ohio State. I think a lot depends on, how the development of their quarterback, J.T. Barrett, goes, and if they can continue to establish that run game. It's been kind of a running back by committee situation there after Carlos Hyde left. So I think that Ohio State probably wins this game, but I wouldn't be surprised if this is a game that, remains close going into the second half, just because Cincinnati can really throw the ball. They got a kid at quarterback, Gunnar Keel, who was the top-rated quarterback in the nation coming out of high school a couple of years ago, went to Notre Dame, transferred out of there, and ended up at Cincinnati. So this is another game that I wouldn't be surprised to see a pretty high scoring, a lot of points on the board.
Last minute here with Sean Merriman of the Big Ten Network, just taking a look as 10 teams, 9 opening conference. Penn State, actually, their second conference game with Northwestern. Take us back, Sean. We can all kind of have our thoughts of where we were coming out of Big Ten Media Day, where we were on opening day, and now where we're at now that conference is really opening. I think Ohio State we just touched on, but what other positive or negative, up or down, has really kind of caught your eye that you didn't see at the beginning of the year?
Yeah, and that's one that we kind of talked about at the top of the show, and that's Michigan. They've really surprised me more than anyone. I thought that they were going to be a team that would potentially be in competition for an East title, and right now, you know, it's tough to say that anymore. Maryland's a team that I think is better than people expected. Their only loss came against a pretty good West Virginia team, and if they can beat Indiana on the road this week, I think that they're on their way to a bowl game. And they've impressed me. Iowa has been a little up and down. I think that some people picked Iowa to be the favorite in the West, but right now I think it's fair to say Nebraska and Wisconsin have kind of jumped the Hawkeyes as the favorite in that division. But other than that, I think everything's pretty much played according to how I thought it was. Like you said, Ohio State, I'm not really sure about, but I think that Michigan State, Wisconsin, and Nebraska, maybe Ohio State, are probably the favorites in the Big Ten right now. And I think that those four were expected to be the favorites coming into the season.
Well, it should be exciting as we get Big Ten football underway. Michigan State and Ohio State maybe not as big of favorites as they were at the beginning of the year, although I think the Spartans are. We'll see how it all plays out. And Sean, hopefully we can chat again soon. Thanks for giving us some time on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Yeah, absolutely. We'd love to talk to you guys again soon. Thanks for everything.
You bet. Take care. Check out his work as well at BTN.com. Sean Merriman joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. He likes Minnesota in the upset. As far as Cincinnati and Ohio State, he's got that as a touchdown game. They all have Nebraska to cover. The experts, Brett Urena and Mark Snyder, and, of course, the senior editor, Tom Deanhart, they all have Nebraska to cover and score over 40 points in this football game. So confidence there.
Yeah, Illinois is not very good on defense. Hasn't shown that they, last year I believe they played Ohio State. I'm not positive on this score, so I'll say it, but I think it was 65-40. But the game was really close. It was at one time the game was like the seesaw back and forth, 40-38, 45-40, something like that. And all of a sudden Ohio State just pulled away late. So Illinois can score with people. Illinois can actually move the ball up and down the field, and they've got a decent quarterback, and they've got some things they do well on offense and have been able to compete with some of the better scoop teams in the nation on that side of the ball, but not on the defensive side of the ball. They haven't been able to do that. So I'm sure that's why they got Nebraska scoring over 40 points.
Well, tomorrow night, 8 o'clock, late game, Big Ten Network. And again, I'm throwing this out to you folks. You're going to want to be somewhere where you get maybe on satellite with multiple channels, because Cincinnati, Ohio State is going at 5 on the Big Ten Network, followed by Nebraska. I mean, there's no way. You thought that we missed a little bit of the Fresno State game. There is no way you will see kickoff in this game, because Cincinnati, Ohio State, college games are 3.5 hours. And I hate when they do that. I hate when they do that, because you have no way of that game being over. So just remember that when you're tuning in tomorrow. I think you're going to miss, if that's the only part of the Big Ten Network you get, that's going to be a significant portion of the football game that you may not see, and hopefully it's over by the end of the first quarter. That would be really good in Nebraska's favor. We're going to take a break here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Midway Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, Midway Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Check out MidwayCareers.com. Midway is growing, and they are seeking motivated and enthusiastic individuals to join their team. You can go online, see their full list of jobs. You can even apply online. Maybe there's something there to suit you. And as we said, it's not just all sales positions either. This is a large company in the shop, in maintenance, in sales, and a variety of marketing and different opportunities here at the Midway Auto Dealership. So go online to MidwayCareers.com. And, of course, with the late game Saturday, you've got all day if you need to shop for a new or pre-owned vehicle as a truck month is winding down. Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, or think Midway.com. Midway It's a better way. We talk hockey with head coach Jim Holton and Robin Walshett from Husker Online. Jimmy's selections, he's got a hot one, and Pigskin Pick coming up.
Goodyear, driven by those who use the world as their proving ground. And everything we've learned making these tires inspires what we roll into yours. Goodyear, more driven.
And now through September 30th, get up to $60 by mail-in rebate when you purchase a set of four select Goodyear tires. Double your rebate up to $120 when you make the purchase on your Goodyear credit card.
Come see us at Graham Tire for a better tire and service experience. Graham Tire, your tire store next door.
What does success look like for you? Maybe it's time to start something new at Complete Nutrition, a clean, comfortable place where you can discuss your health and nutritional needs on a personal level. It's more than just a store. It's an experience. Want a supplement plan that works with your lifestyle? For mature men, there's TrueForm from Complete Nutrition. This daily metabolism-boosting multivitamin has everything you need for long-term wellness. TrueForm supports heart health, a better prostate, energy, mood, memory, and reinvigorates male vitality. TrueForm Power and Performance, a multivitamin for men. Complete Nutrition. Success starts here.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island near Gordman's. Call 382-8663. And in Kearney on North 2nd Avenue. For free shipping, call 338-1348.
Perform better. Complete Nutrition.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options, but which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
As sunny skies continue across the area today, we'll work our way up to about 83 for a high, with south winds around 10 to 15. Then with clear skies tonight, we'll fall to 56 as south winds stay at 5 to 15. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now it's 72.
Doug and Daddy's show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Jimmy Langan with you on this Friday. It's a football Friday, but it's also the start of the hockey season. There's basketball right around the corner. We've got volleyball going on and the rest of the fall sports as they're out there playing soccer, running cross country. And let's take a break here to reintroduce the 2014 Tri-City Storm squad. We talked with Coach Holton before the preseason, and I guess if we got to have you on every Friday to keep up that unbeaten streak, we'll do it. Jim Holton joining us here in studio, and good morning.
Morning. How are you? And I gladly come in every Friday if it results in a W that night. So, you know what? We're very happy with preseason, but we're also realistic enough to know that right now every team in the OSHL is tied for first place. Exhibition doesn't mean anything. It's an evaluation tool. But we thought it was important for our group coming off the tough last stretch of the season that we learn how to win and create a culture of winning. So that was more important than maybe the result. It was just the understanding and the process of winning.
You told us 3 weeks ago before the first exhibition game that you thought you were down to about 4 to 8 players going for the last four spots, and you'd be really evaluating during this time. Did you get what you wanted? How did you make the final decisions?
Well, we did. And again, that was a conscious decision to play so many exhibition games. A lot of teams maybe only played four. We decided to go with seven because we knew we were going to have some tough decisions. And the best way to evaluate in any sport is obviously to get them in live fire action. So we did that. We had very, very difficult decisions, which is a good problem and a bad problem. It's tough to let good people go and tough to let kids that can play in the league. But we were fortunate enough to find a home for a couple of them. Grant Hutton and Mark Pitaccio were probably our final two releases, and we were able to find them a spot in Des Moines. And that's indicative of the fact that these kids can play in the league and that we hope we made the right decisions and that our depth is there that allowed us to do it.
What did you see? I guess there's two or three questions kind of that could, you know, shoot off of that. But what did you see as far as the team and that will translate into opening night tonight?
Well, I think the depth was our key. And again, when we get down to the decisions, the fact that both those guys could play in the league tells you how much depth we think we had. And again, you're always going to maybe question yourself on one or two decisions. That's just the nature of the beast. But we thought we had a lot of depth. We talked a lot about getting bigger, older, faster. And, you know, so one of the defining factors in our decision was, if it come down to player A versus B, who's more natural in terms of skating? Can they withstand the rigors of a long schedule here? And, you know, we think we did. We think we're a bigger, older team, which is going to allow us to avoid a lot of the injuries that we thought were fatigue related last year.
Speaking of older, Jimmy.
I guess I'm up. Coach, in hockey, when you have your lines and you go out there, do you at the very beginning of the game, do you throw out your best group, or do you kind of keep, you know, like, I guess what I'm saying is, like, you 1 and 4 playing and 2 and 3 are in the next group, you know, do you kind of work things like that a little bit, or at the very beginning of the game, do you try to go out there with a real solid group?
It just kind of depends on the feel, who you're playing, what the building is, who's been on a roll. The nice part with our team this year, and I've said it, and it's not cliched, I don't really foresee us having a definitive top line all the way down. It's not a ghost roster situation, which is rare. I'm a bit superstitious, so I always, whatever line I start, if we happen to have success, they'll start the next game. Sometimes you want, on the road, maybe you want some guys that play a simpler, more grinding style, just to kind of send some messages that way with physical play. At home, maybe, you know, you're a little bit more razzle-dazzle, so to speak. So each game kind of takes on a different complexion, so we kind of get a feel as things move on. And some guys, you know what, some guys are comfortable starting, other guys aren't. So that's something else we'll figure out over the course of 5 or 10 games.
Time with Jim Holton, the head coach of the Tri-City Storm, opening tonight at Lincoln, 7:05, face-off on the Breeze, 94.5. The USHL experimented with some new rules in the Fall Classic and an exhibition, and just take the fans through what you did and what will be new for the regular season.
Yeah, two significant experimental rules were used in the Fall Classic that aren't going to follow through into the regular season, but I think it's a process we're trying to accumulate some data to see if it helps create some differences in our game. The first one was no icing killing a penalty. Normally, generally, traditionally, you just hammer the puck down the ice. The team has to reload and come back at you. This one acted just like a normal icing in the game. Whistle blown, face-off come back in to the offensive zone. They use it at some of the USA hockey festivals, the U15, U16 level, but they haven't compiled enough data to see. Personally, I didn't see much of a difference. I don't think there was any more power play goals scored with that format than with the traditional one. The second one, which I think we'll probably see down the road at some point in our game, is 3-on-3 overtime as opposed to 4-on-4. And simple math tells you fewer bodies on the ice, more room. It was quite exciting, quite dynamic. Going to give me more gray hairs, I think, if it does get implemented. But I think the whole idea we were talking off the air is that trying to decide more games in a team setting as opposed to an individual skill competition. So I like that one, and I think a lot of leagues are doing it. I know the NHL is trying it right now. The American League is going to experiment with it. So I think we're trying to build some data so we can kind of reinforce the decision to change the rule whenever they do.
You, at the start of every season, have captains. Everybody does it a little bit different, but Garrett Gomez will be your captain. Then you have alternates, co-captains. Everybody gives a different little title. But why Garrett, and was that solely your decision?
No, players vote. I'm a big believer that it's their team. It's not my team. I'm part of the group, but I always prefer that in my teams that the players vote on it, because they're the ones that have to choose their leader. It's not right for me. I don't have the pulse of the room. The dressing room is the players. That's their area. That's their genre to go. So they voted, and it was almost unanimous. I think Garrett was named on every ballot. We asked them to vote for a captain and three assistants, and it speaks volumes of of what he brings to the table and how well respected he is in the room. So I thought it was important. I don't like dragging these things out. I do think the C's and the A's are a little bit overrated in today's sports world, but it becomes a big issue when you don't deal with it. So I wanted it out of the way, and I wanted it to be a player's choice.
What do you as a coach then expect from your captain?
Well, a captain has to be a liaison with the coaching staff, so he has to filter messages from us into the room and vice versa. We expect him to bring messages back from the room to us, and I think we've talked about it before, but gone are the days where it's a dictatorship in terms of coaching. It has to be constant lines of communication, and we have to be on the same page, and we really try to stress that it's us all in it together, guys. There's going to be some days where it's not going to be pretty. I might not be on a lot of Christmas card lists some days, but we start every day fresh, and we know, and we have to have open lines of communication. And I think that leadership core does that. They're all pretty mature, responsible, level-headed guys. And I think they're comfortable coming to us, and we're comfortable going to them.
Jim Holton, Tri-City Storm head coach, skating at Lincoln tonight. And, of course, Jim doesn't have to. But as you take a look at what you saw this last month, is there anything that changed your opinion on teams in the league and what they were going to be like and what you were expecting them to be like going into this season?
Well, there was a lot of unknowns. I think the nature of our league, that the player turnover rate is so high that every team kind of takes on a new complexion every year. So the Fall Classic was nice for me to be able to just sit back and watch a lot of the teams. And I think the word that keeps coming to mind, and it was probably not as prevalent last year, but is parity. I see a lot of competitive, hardworking teams on the ice of the Fall Classic. And we heard the same comments out of the East. But I know in the West, I like Omaha's team. They're very, very quick. They're not the same complexion or dynamic maybe that they were last year, but they have their starting goaltender back is one of the best in the league. Sioux Falls is a gritty team that you're going to have to match their work ethic every night. Sioux City is a very structured team. Lincoln is a young team, but I think they're going to catch a lot of people by surprise. I was very impressed with them. And Fargo is another sleeper team. And, you know, I think a Des Moines team that's gone through a lot of structural changes is going to get better as the season goes on. So I think in this league, the big thing I learned last year with only four teams getting in per side, the pressure to win is right away. Like, you have to get out of the gate, and I think that's something that this franchise has maybe stubbed their toe a little bit with in the past. So we're trying to correct that one as we go.
Yeah, last year I looked, and when I look at the four teams that made it, it really, you know, a lot of times in sports it comes down to the final day, the final week, you know. Boy, this was decided last year. These four are in and these four are out. It was really pretty much cut and dried, more than you'd think. But you're saying this year it looks to me that you think that there's a little more a parity involved with all the teams involved. Is that correct?
I think so early on. I mean, I guess that will be to determine. You never really know what the league and your team's all about until you get about the 10-game mark. But just based on what we saw up at the Fall Classic, I do. I think it's going to be a real battle. I don't think there's any above the crowd teams, so to speak. And I think there was a couple last year. You look at Waterloo's record last year. I mean, almost into single digits in the loss column. They were a dominant team, really, from start to finish, and got up, you know, not upset, but beat in the finals. But they were in the playoffs in October, as you said, last year, the top four. By the time I even got here, I remember having a conversation with some people saying, you know what, I think it's done. Like, I think the top four are distinctly better than the bottom four, and they were probably right. So I don't see that this year. If it is the case, I sure as hell hope we're in the top four.
That's the place to be. Last minute here with Coach Holton so that they can get back to their day. I feel, and again, with you being relatively new to the USHL, we've been doing this for 15 years, it finally seems that it's not just a jumbled mess heading into the season. We don't have a bunch of rule changes. We don't have a quirky playoff system. We don't have a stupid schedule where we play Lincoln six of the first nine games or something stupid like that. It just seems like it is the most balanced, you know, the water seems to be calm, the ice seems to be smooth, let's go with that. It's freshly Zambonied. It doesn't look like we're in the fifth period of a broken down Zamboni. Do you get that sense? Well, I mean, I know it's hard since you've only been here a season and a half now.
No, but I do, and that was, consciously a topic of discussion at the general manager's meetings before the season started, is creating that, creating some continuity from season to season, because from an outsider coming in, that was the one knock on the USHL, is just as you alluded to, you know, people didn't know what the playoff format was from year to year, and that's not good from a marketing standpoint. It's not good from a team standpoint. There was arguments over schedules, but I think the league has taken great steps to professionalize their approach. I think our new commissioner, Bob Fallon, is going to do a terrific job in selling our collective product, and I think that's very important as we push into new markets and make ourselves a competitive crowd, maybe stands above the crowd in terms of the U.S. We want to be a destination for all the players here, and I think a lot of the things we just talked about go a long ways towards making that a destination for us.
We'll slide the mic over to Jared Schaffer, voice of the Storm, for just a moment here. You'll be able to hear him all season long, thank God. Whatever I can say on the air won't come out right, so just you're doing a great job. Love to have you back. After this, the Storm over the next three weekends, five of the six games are at home. The home opener is next Friday night. Lots of things going on. What can the fans expect to see when they're playing at home this year?
Yeah, well, thanks, Doug. I think it's going to be a very exciting home opener. A lot of different things that we're doing. The 15th anniversary season is upon us, so we have the new logo. We'll have new jerseys that everyone can see on display at that first game. And actually, if you're a youth, if you're a kid, you can actually get a free jersey. So if you come the first 1,000 kids, we'll get a free kids jersey. There are also going to be fireworks after the game. We did that last year, and it went really well. The fireworks show
didn't burn anything down.
Didn't burn anything down, which was goal number one. But then the fireworks show actually lasted for a while. I thought it was going to be like a short couple minutes fireworks. Hey, the game's over. Actually, it was like a 15-20 minute fireworks show. So it was a nice thing. We're bringing that back for this year as well. And we're hoping that we can see some wins here early on. So that's always something to look forward to as well.
Now, I haven't got a response back from executive czar in charge Greg Shea, but now when is free beer night?
We'll get back to you on that one.
See, that's what I keep getting here.
I'll let Greg answer that.
Okay, in your opinion, the teams to beat in the league this year are who?
For sure, Waterloo. They return some of their best players from last year, and they bring in some new players that are supposed to be very good. Omaha, I think, was the best team that we played in the preseason. I think Omaha will be pretty good, and I think Sioux City. That's in the West. I think Waterloo, Sioux City, Omaha are my three. With our team, of course, maybe my top four there. And in the East, I'm not really sure. I haven't seen any of the Eastern teams, but Dubuque seems to be one of the favorites that a lot of people have liked Dubuque early on, so I'm going to say Dubuque's probably going to be pretty good too.
Anything else I missed? Anything else the fans need to know as we get ready to open the season tonight?
Puck drops at 7:05.
All right. It's on the Breeze, 94.5. Hockey season is upon us, and we'll see if the Storm can be here all season long. I'll be honest, and it's not because you guys, two guys are sitting here. I just have a way better feeling this year. And it has nothing to do with the coaches that we've had in here every single time, because there's always that positive vibe. It just doesn't seem like there's a bunch of junk coming around the season.
Don't be too fooled by preseason. I'm positive too, but
No, 6-0. Yeah,
but it's easy to say, oh wow, 6-0-1. We're looking good.
We got a couple of goalies that we don't know anything about. I mean, we need four or five on the roster, guys. Come on. I mean, less forwards, more goalies. That's all there is to it.
Why don't you ask Coach about how the fans in Lincoln feel about him right now?
How do the fans in Lincoln feel about him right now?
Well, I may have kicked a hornet's nest with some comments. It was kind of an offhanded compliment to them about throwing beer and spitting on us, and it was, I think, perceived not as a compliment. It's the best way to put it. So we might be going into an even more hostile environment tonight, but you know what? Well, so be it. I love it. It's us against the world, and we might as well spark the rivalry up right away.
Well, if Schaffern's out in the parking lot doing the game, we know something's wrong. So, hey, guys, best of luck. We'll talk throughout the season.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Jim Holton, head coach, general manager, Tri-City Storm. Jared Schaffern, the voice of the Storm. 6:40 tonight, we get going. 7:05, face-off on the Breeze, 94.5 FM. Here is our Midtown Mart cooler question as we go into the break. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. We asked you yesterday, how will the Huskers fare on Saturday? 55% taking that middle ground, Jimmy. The win, but not covering. We used 20 as the spread. 45% said win. Nobody ventured into the loss column. We had a couple of those against Miami last week. So pretty much down the middle, and a lot of people, and again, I think it's going to be right around that number. If you want to vote now on our ESPN Superstation.com Midtown Mark Cooler question, which 0-3, these are the only teams that are 0-3. We got 3-0-3 and 3-3-0. Which 0-3 team has the best chance to turn it around and make the playoffs? Only three teams, Jimmy, since 1990 have started 0-3 and made the playoffs. You tell me. You have to pick one. Tampa Bay, Oakland, Jacksonville.
Tampa Bay.
Yeah, that's my gut. I mean, they were down 56-0 after three quarters. It's hard to believe. But look at the Giants, who were embarrassing the first two games of the year, and now they're 2-2. I got to go with that. I mean, you kind of root for Jacksonville, maybe, because they don't offend anybody. Oakland offends everybody, so you can't. I'll be with you. Vote now, ESPNSuperStation.com. Robin Washut will join us from Husker Online. Pigskin Pick'em, Jimmy's Selections, still to come here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Hi, Sean Callahan here. I'm excited to tell you about a company I'm working with that will finally bring you the internet experience you've been waiting for. I'm talking about a company that is so reliable, so dependable, and has such amazing local customer service that you'll be wondering why people haven't done business like this before. Prairie iNet Fix Wireless Internet will change the way you experience your world. Let's talk about their amazing technology. They have the largest fixed wireless network in the U.S., and because of this, they can pass their savings on to you. That means finally having reliable internet at a price you can afford. Another perk, no contracts. With Prairie iNet, you won't sign a contract ever. I've personally met the people at Prairie iNet. You can trust that you'll be getting a better internet experience, and more importantly, you can trust them. Mention my name, Sean Callahan, and you'll get a $100 Visa gift card and free installation for just signing up. Call Prairie iNet right now at 308-221-7844. That's 308-221-7844.
Every day, you struggle to attract new customers and keep the ones you have while keeping the business running and staying in a budget. Get noticed with help from Copycat Printing. Their design and printing teams can go big with banners, yard signs, even wraps for your company vehicles. They can make sure you stand out at a fair or convention with a booth that will turn heads. If you can imagine it, they can design it and print it. Copycat Printing, across from the Kearney Chicken Coop, or visit KearneyCopycat.com. Copycat Printing, a better idea.
A few years ago, we decided as a company to drop the big franchise name so that we could invest the franchise dollars locally in the good things Kearney has to offer. And in that, I mean the people and what we do for each other. This is Tim Norwood with NP Realty.
NP Realty is a proud supporter of Kearney High, Kearney Catholic, UNK, and the Tri-City Storm. Best of luck to all the area athletes from NP Realty, and we'll see you at the game.
NP Realty, developing dreams.
You'll have fun, fun, fun when you make it Fonner Park.
Make Fonner Park's Finish Line Restaurant and Sports Lounge your weekend getaway. Bet on the best thoroughbred racing from 18 tracks, including fabulous Santa Anita. Play Keno. Enjoy delicious salads, sandwiches, full bar service, and Saturday, the $1 million Belmont Jockey Club Gold Cup. The Husker Illinois game, prime rib dinner, and night racing from Remington. So race to the finish line, number one for food and fun.
To some, winning isn't everything, it's the only thing. Others say it's not whether you win or lose, it's how you play the game. But everyone can agree that the uniforms and equipment you play in make a big difference in how you play and how you win. That's why TM Sporting Goods gives you that winning edge with top name brands and personal service. From seasoned pros like Steve Baradol and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods, on the bricks, 2217 Central, downtown Kearney. TM Sporting Goods, a division of Pro Team Design.
Doug and Daddy's show, opening day of the Ryder Cup, opening day of the USHL hockey season, opening of Big Ten Conference football. Time for a little Husker update. Recruiting not only for football, but a little basketball talk as well. Brought to you by TNL Irrigation Systems. Proven technology that's easier on you for a lifetime. Doug Duda, Jim Langan, joined by Robin Washut from Husker Online. What's for lunch today, Robin?
I don't know, I haven't thought that far ahead yet. I don't know. Usually Chipotle is either barbecue, or Friday is usually Chipotle or barbecue for me, so I got to make a tough decision here.
Man, well, you could go barbecue Chipotle, couldn't you?
Oh, hey, now you're blowing my mind here.
step back. Before we jump into the football and the thoughts of tomorrow, it was a nice week for basketball for Nebraska. Where are we? Yeah, we don't talk Nebraska recruiting classes when it comes to basketball, just like probably Kansas doesn't talk football recruiting classes. Where are we? How good is this class? How many more spots is Coach Miles looking to fill in?
Well, right now they have one more scholarship remaining for the 2015 class, and by the looks of things, I wouldn't expect that to get filled until the spring. You know, they have the early signing period coming up in here in November, and, you know, there's really not any targets, you know, still on the board right now that are at the point where, you know, they might pull the trigger in November. So I think that they're going to kind of slow down and kind of sit back and really kind of evaluate what they want to take with this final spot. And, you know, I think it's the obvious, you know, choice that they're going to try and get is a big man, probably one guy that can come in and play right away. So you're looking at probably, you know, a JUCO or a Division I transfer guy, you know, that can come in and, you know, fill, you know, a void that they're going to have next year with Moses Abraham moving on. And, you know, I'm not really sure what's going to happen with Leslie Smith. And, you know, Walter Pitchford being a senior. So, you know, that's going to be a key priority for them over the next few months, finding a big man that can come in and contribute right away. But, you know, when you look at the rest of this class, it's arguably, you know, up there as one of the best that Nebraska basketball has maybe ever pulled in. You know, I think you go back to the 90s is probably the last time that they've had the caliber of players that they brought in one class, you know, like they do with this group. You know, obviously the most recent addition, Ed Morrow Jr., you know, four-star Rivals 150 power forward out of Chicago. You know, he's a guy that was Nebraska's, you know, top target for a long time. You know, Tim Miles was recruiting him back when he was at Colorado State. So this has been a long thing in the works. And, you know, obviously Nebraska had the advantage of a lot of ties between Morrow and the program. You know, both his parents were student-athletes at Nebraska. And he was born in Lincoln, grew up there until he was about 10 years old. So Nebraska had a lot of things working in his favor, but, you know, still you got to tip your hats to the coaching staff for getting the job done and sealing the deal. And then, you know, they signed another four-star in Glenn Watson, a point guard out of Westchester, Illinois, just outside of Chicago. So, I mean, that gives you two four-star Rivals 150 recruits in the same class. And, you know, before that, Nebraska had never signed a 150 player since the rankings debuted back in 2003. So that just kind of shows you just where things are right now compared to where they have been over the last decade or so. And, you know, obviously they have a Michael Jacobson, who's a three-star you know, power forward from out in Waukee, Iowa. And he's a guy that I think is a little underrated. You know, he was only a three-star kid that, you know, didn't get quite the attention as the others did. But, you know, he's a freak athletically. You know, he had an offer from Iowa State to play football as a tight end. You know, just big kid that can jump out of the gym. You know, super smart, 4.0 GPA. So, yeah, those three guys. And then, of course, the addition of Kansas transfer Andrew White, you know, a former four-star Rivals 150 guy himself when he was coming out of high school. You know, obviously he has to sit out next season, but, you know, that class right there, I mean, those are some program-changing players in that group. And so things have never been better in Nebraska recruiting. And like I said, you'd probably have to go back to, you know, the Teron Liu, Eric Strickland, you know, Jerron Boone, those types of guys to really find a class that has been this good in Nebraska's history.
Hey, Jim Langan here. Got a question for you on this. It's a little different take on this. Is, you know, Nebraska, we never had to worry about any of our freshmen or sophomores ever leaving early for the NBA draft, you know, with our recruiting. And, you know, and there are probably 15 schools that is a concern. I mean, but they want that guy. They want to take him, and they know they're not going to redshirt him. They know right away he's playing because they may only have him for one, maybe 2 years. Do we have anybody like that you see that might be a potential NBA player?
Well, I mean, you know, obviously aside from, you know, Tram Pettaway, I think he's the biggest NBA prospect. But as far as this class, you know, I don't think that's much of a concern. You know, for one, you know, I don't think that they're quite at that level, you know, being a potential one-and-done, you know, type prospect. But, I mean, they could obviously get there eventually, but it would take a few more years, just in my opinion. But, you know, and another reason why I don't think it's much of a concern is all those kids are really have a high priority on academics. You know, I think Ed Morrow wants to be a civil engineering major. Glenn Watson, you know, he's a smart kid, too, that, you know, I think had a 3.5 GPA. And then, of course, Michael Jackson, a 4.0 student who wants to be a doctor. So, I mean, you look at all these guys, that they have goals that go far beyond basketball. So I don't think that any of those guys are really going to have much of a risk of leaving that early. Now, obviously, it's a good problem to have if you're faced with that. because that means that you're recruiting as well as anybody in the country. So I don't think 10 Miles would ever complain if he's ever in that situation down the road.
Let's turn our attention to football now with Robin Washut. Robin, your thoughts. I'm always interested in everybody that watches Husker football on an almost daily basis. Your thoughts on what you saw overall first four games of the season that either positively or negatively changed your opinion from what you thought you'd have at this Nebraska team at the beginning of the year?
Yeah, you know, I think more than anything, what the most positive thing for me that we've seen is this team's, not falling into some of the traps that they did in previous years. You know, when things start off poorly, which they have in a lot of the games early on, after the first couple drives, they've been able to adjust, keep their composure, and not let things snowball. You know, we remember just, a few games in recent years, like the UCLA game just a couple years ago. I mean, just when things started going poorly, they were never able to adjust, keep their composure, and things just completely got away from them. And I think that Miami game was a perfect example. You know, Miami got off to a roaring start to open that game, but, Nebraska had made their adjustments. You know, they kept their cool and ended up putting together, one of the best games they've had all season. So I think that is probably, when you look at, how this team is going to finish down the stretch, that's one thing that separates this group so far from, Popolini's previous teams is, they look to be a team that has a strong core of leadership that, will hopefully prevent them from having those, those games where they just fall apart. So, that kind of remains to be seen, how they fare, once Big Ten starts getting rolling on this week and beyond. But that's extremely encouraging as far as I'm concerned. And, I think as far as the negatives go, I think I personally thought the defense was going to be a lot better. There were some talk about, this possibly being Bo's best defense he's ever assembled, comparing it to 2009. Obviously, it's not at that level right now. They have plenty of talent. I think the defensive front has played very well, especially against the run. But the linebackers are an issue right now. And, I think that you just want to see a little bit more dominance from a group that a lot of people thought was going to be extremely good this year. So the good thing is that Bo Pelini's defenses always have a history of getting better as the season goes along. And I think that'll be exactly the case with this unit. I think that the more games they get under their belt and, the more they can gel as a unit, I think by this end of the year, they'll be playing their best football.
What could Illinois possibly do, Robin Washut, Husker Online with us, if Nebraska just doesn't shoot themselves in the foot? That's how I think Illinois stays in the game. But
right. What
can Illinois do well to stick around tomorrow?
Yeah, obviously turnovers is the one way that this game's going to be close if Nebraska falls into those again. But as far as Illinois, I think the number one thing you look at is their ability to create mismatches with their running back in the passing game. You know, that was a huge problem for Nebraska against Miami when Miami would shift Duke Johnson out and get him matched up one-on-one with, a linebacker. And then that, obviously, with the player of that caliber, that's going to be a mismatch against any team they play. And so Illinois has a guy, Josh Ferguson, who's an extremely talented running back. I think Bo called him one of the best running backs in the conference.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
They're going to have to make adjustments and not let their linebackers get put in bad positions where they're matched up one-on-one against him in coverage. But other than that, I mean, really, I think the line has moved up over 20 points on this game, and I think that's probably a safe cover as far as I'm concerned. When you look at this game on paper, Nebraska's far superior team, and, like you said, I think the only way this game stays close is if Nebraska lets Illinois hang around with, mistakes and turnovers.
Robin Washut joining us here on the Doug and Danny Show from HuskerOnline.com. Nebraska is banged up. Santos is out. They always seem to have one kind of key person. I don't think Bo Pelini really liked Mauro Bondi from the comments that he made yesterday. And, again, I don't know the kid, but I kind of have the same. I mean, 2 years ago, I had the same kind of thoughts here, is that this seems like an extra kid on the roster. We don't need a guy that can just kick off. But hopefully he recovers from his injury. Drew Brown, he's the golden boy right now until he misses an important kick, I'm sure. But I want to go to the linebacker. You get that nice story of another walk-on getting the start in Trevor Roach. How is the linebacking core right now? Because that's the one, and Pelini pointed it out after the win Saturday, that's the one taking the heat right now. It was the O-line a couple of weeks ago. Now it's the linebacking core.
Yeah, and, you know, I think that, like you mentioned, injuries are obviously, you know, playing a part in that. And I think the loss of Michael Rose Ivy is, you know, probably one of the biggest ones, you know, of that, those preseason injuries. I mean, just in terms of not only his play on the field, but his leadership. So, I mean, that really put him off to a rough start. And, you know, again, going back to that Miami game where they struggled, a lot of that was just being put in bad positions. You know, I think the first few plays where Duke Johnson was able to, you know, I think he got Josh Banderas a few times. You know, that was just, you know, Josh being put in a really bad spot. And, you know, as the game went along, he didn't really make the right adjustments to, you know, shift the coverage and, you know, stay out of those positions. So, they struggled for sure. I mean, the ironic part is David Santos has maybe the best game of his career against Miami, and then obviously he hurts his knee and is out. He's doubtful for this game and probably maybe even the next game too against Michigan State. So it's, you know, one of those things that you finally start to see a positive and then boom, he's out. But I think that it's a young group, and again, you know, like I mentioned with the rest of the defense, I think the more games they play, I think that they'll continue to get better, and I don't think they'll have the same issues that they did against Miami. I think the coaching staff will do a good job of keeping them out of those positions where they're going to get exposed like that. But I think it's just a young group that just needs more time to develop.
Robin Washit, Husker Online. Check out all the great stuff, the exclusive Tunnel Walk and all the news, and keep up to date with Sean Callahan's Big Red Report daily, weekdays here on ESPN Radio. Robin, we'll see you at Memorial Stadium tomorrow. Thanks for the time, man.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Take care, Robin Washit, Husker Online. Well, the United States just got Rory McIlroy'd. So they're still playing on. Before we go to the break, here's what we're going to do. We're going to get Jimmy's selections. I've got the trivia question for Pigskin Pick'em. We'll take our final break here, Mike Will's sports as well, and then we'll come back and do Pigskin Pick'em. So here we go. I want Jimmy's selections before we hit the noon hour here. Jimmy, what do you got?
Well, I'll tell you. I'm not going to – I'm Nebraska. I'll either take Nebraska or I won't go – But I'm telling you right now, 90% of the people are taking the Huskers. The line moved from 19 to 22. Let's look back at the Nebraska game. We hit an upright and made a field goal. We pick up a fumble and go 63 yards for a touchdown. People, I'm telling you right now, be real careful on this. This is not correct. This line should be about 14 or 15. I do like Nebraska. I like the body language they have. But I'm going to tell you right now, I would not ever bet Nebraska this week. There are other games to take them on. This is not the correct week to do this. They look too good the last 2 weeks. Things get, you know, escalated a little bit on the point spread. So you're giving up more points than you need to be giving up. So I just wouldn't take that. I don't say you have to bet the other side, but do not take Nebraska on this. I'm using Syracuse against Notre Dame, plus the 12. They're one of my smaller picks. I like Air Force. They're plus 14 versus Boise State. Those are home dogs. Mm-hmm. So Air Force, only 18% of the people are betting Air Force. 82% are on Boise State. And only 22% are on Syracuse. 78% are on Notre Dame. I'm going to take Florida State this week. Only 28% of the people are betting Florida State, and they're upset with Florida State. This isn't something they're betting with their brain. They're betting with their heart here. They want Florida State to lose. Mm-hmm. Florida State's playing an undefeated 4-0 North Carolina State team. They lost their last 8 games last year. North Carolina State is outmatched. The spread is only 18, and Jameis Winston's playing. I mean, so I just think that Florida State will probably cover that. My best bet for about 2 or 3 years, and I don't know if you can still get it in, but SMU is the worst college football team by far in the nation. You guys, they got beat so far this year 58-6, I believe 45-0, and they got beat by a poor division team. North Texas State beat them like 48-6. The spread, they're playing TCU. TCU only won 4 games last year, but TCU, this isn't really a road game. It's at SMU. They're being playing on their field.
Yeah, yeah.
But the spread is 32. Take TCU all you want. This thing will be over with at halftime. And in the pros, I kind of like Tampa Bay. The reason why I like Tampa Bay, they went 0-3 last week. I mean, they're 0-3, started out 0-3. They've got 10 days to prepare for the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Pittsburgh Steelers aren't that good. Had a bunch of turnovers to win their game. So I like Tampa Bay plus the 8. And I'm also going to take Wake Forest plus the 22 versus Louisville. This is a tough pick because Wake Forest got to travel. I just think Louisville's maybe not as good as they have been in the past. So those are my selections.
Recapping the selections for Jimmy, the big pick, of course, was to take TCU. That's the big one over SMU. He also likes Syracuse, Air Force, Florida State, and Wake Forest. And in the pros, he likes the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's time now for Pigskin Pick'em. Last night, the Giants rolled up the Redskins. How many former Huskers were suited up for the Washington Redskins and New York Giants last night? The total number of former Huskers suited up last night. If you've not went up against us in Pigskin Pick'em, you get an opportunity to do so. 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. Call now.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
At First National Bank, we believe customer interactions are based on relationships, not transactions. That's why we created First National Checking, to prove our commitment to you and the community. This is not a one-time offer, but a demonstration of our ongoing dedication to put customers first. No hidden fees, no surprises, no hoops to jump through. For honest banking with no strings attached, visit one of our offices today. First National Bank, member FDIC.
A better place to live doesn't have to be a dream. Not when there's somewhere where you can make new friends, have new things to see and do, and become a part of a caring community, all on the most affordable of terms. Affordable senior housing at Good Samaritan Society Goldbeck Towers makes this a reality to seniors 62 and older who meet HUD guidelines. Contact a housing professional at Goldbeck Towers for more information on affordable housing or find us on the web at good-sam.com.
Kelly Tucker has worked at Anderson Brothers for over 30 years. He encouraged his kids to check out college and something else.
Come see us. We'll train you. That's what we've been good at doing. I've always said that Anderson Brothers is more like a college. And that's why I call it Anderson Brothers College, because we do train a lot of people. And they can take that anywhere they go. And there's good wages. There really are. You got to work for it, but there's good wages.
Check out the career options at Anderson Brothers Electric, Plumbing, and Heating in Kearney and Holdridge.
It's another great Friday night of football tonight on our network of stations and the World Wide Web at PlatteRiverPreps.com. Here on ESPN 1460, Kearney High has Lincoln Southeast at home at 7 o'clock, while Adams Central travels out to Gehring, kicking off at 8 on 1550. Donovan Trumbull is at St. Cecilia on 1230 KHAS, and Wood River is at Gibbon on Classic Hits 98.9. Plus, you can catch all the action tonight on PlatteRiverPreps.com. High school football, followed by the CPI Mr. Tire Scoreboard Show tonight.
Goodyear, driven by those who use the world as their proving ground. And everything we've learned making these tires inspires what we roll into yours. Goodyear, more driven.
And now through September 30th, get up to $60 by mail-in rebate when you purchase a set of four select Goodyear tires. Double your rebate up to $120 when you make the purchase on your Goodyear credit card.
Come see us at Graham Tire for a better tire and service experience. Graham Tire, your tire store next door.
ESPN Superstation. Sports Center.
Good afternoon, I'm Mike Will. A Sports Center update on ESPN. The Hastings College football team will play host to Dakota Wesleyan tomorrow for their homecoming game out at Lloyd Wilson Field. Both teams are 2-1, 1-1 in the Great Plains Athletic Conference. Hastings is third in the nation in total offense, averaging 586 yards per game. Tigers head coach Ross Simple says to say the Broncos' offense has been impressive would be an understatement.
You know, you look at the skill players they have on the perimeter and the backfield, and just a really nice group of kids that, you know, seems like they all have a role and they all know what their role is, and they do it really well. And then you match that up with a big offensive line that's going to get after you and, you know, going to get some cut blocks on the edge. So offensively, they're doing some good things. I mean, they're taking their deep shots and they're hitting their deep shots, and, you know, that keeps people out of the box. But, you know, then they hit you over the top, so you loosen up, and then they hit you in the run game. So they're doing a great job of keeping teams off balance and throwing a bunch of stuff at them and just going extremely fast. And that's, you know, a huge concern for us is just – being able to keep up.
Dakota Wesleyan running back Francois Barneau is third in the nation in rushing, averaging 168 yards per game. Two teams have split their last eight meetings, with the Tigers winning last year 29-18. Kickoff will be at 1 o'clock. Pregame show begins at noon on 1230 KHAS. Hastings College volleyball team will play at Briarcliff tonight and at Dakota Wesleyan on Saturday. The men's and women's soccer teams will play host to Briarcliff. Tri-City Storm will begin their season tonight in Lincoln. The Storm finished 6-0-1 during the preseason. Face-off will be at 7:05. Pregame show begins at 6:50 on the Breeze, KOIQ 94.5. Adams Central softball team beat Grand Island Central Catholic 2-1 yesterday. The Patriots are now 13-7. Hastings High shut out Centennial 13-0. The Tigers are now 15-7. That's a sports update on ESPN. I'm Mike Will.
Mostly sunny skies across the area for this afternoon. We'll reach a high temperature in the lower 80s. Lower winds breezy from the south. Then for tonight, mostly clear skies in the mid-50s. I'm Weather Eye meteorologist Michael Caro. Currently 75.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Things up with Pigskin Pick'em. Already the winner from Big Dally's Deli, the large combo meal, is Bill from Minden. He knew that there were seven former Huskers suited up last night in the New York Giants-Washington Redskins game. They were Roy Helu, Prince Amukamara, Will Compton, Josh Brown, Zach Bowman, Spencer Long, and Niles Paul, all suited up for the game last night. And for that large combo meal at Big Dally's Deli, top of the hill in Kearney and across from Duncan Field in Hastings, they're open there for you. Anything you want, home of a bazillion sandwiches. Go in and enjoy a great sandwich coming up this weekend for you and the family. And the United States has just choked one down their leg in the Ryder Cup as McIlroy and his teammate, who was he playing with? I've been focused on other stuff here. McIlroy, they win the last two holes to come from two down to have the match with the United States. It looks like the United States, instead of being 4-4 after day one, are going to be down 5-3 if they had won that match instead of having it. Well, let's get back to Bill here and pick some football games. Bill, congratulations. $30 in the Cunningham's cash waiting if you can knock us off. We're kind of on a roll. How you feeling?
I'm terrible at picking games, but we'll give it a whirl.
Well, this is perfect. You should win then. There are some stinkers when you think about big time football teams. A lot of the close lines this week are like Texas State, Tulsa, Temple, Connecticut, which we will be picking. We will pick tonight's game first, though. Fresno State, Nebraska has seen them, and fans know what they look like. They are at New Mexico, and Fresno State a slight favorite in this one. Bill, who you got?
I'm going with New Mexico.
Jimmy?
I'm also taking New Mexico.
This has to be a big game for New Mexico. It's a winnable game at home. I'll take Fresno State. Texas State at Tulsa. Texas State should have beaten Illinois. Tulsa ran over by Florida Atlantic. This has too much of a Nebraska theme. I'm going to take Texas State. Bill, who you like? Even though Tulsa's
like
the favorite,
Texas,
by the way.
I like Texas State as well.
Jimmy?
I'll take Texas State.
The first time there has been a Texas State selection, I believe, on this show, and we all go with Texas State. Temple at Connecticut. Neither one of these offenses seem to be very good. Connecticut has played a way tougher schedule here in the beginning than Temple. Temple is the slight favorite, less than a touchdown in this one at Connecticut. Jimmy, who you like?
I'll take Temple.
Bill, who you got here?
I'll go away from Jimmy on that one.
You're going to take Connecticut, so that leaves the coin flip to me. My heart said to take Connecticut, but they're terrible. Offensively, they're just not good. I'm going to take Temple, and that'll give Bill a chance to clip us here,
Bill, did you want Temple or did you want UConn?
I want UConn.
Yeah, okay.
He's taking
UConn.
I'm
going away from you.
Got you. Good idea. That's what I'd do.
Nevada at San Jose State. Nevada, about a 4-point favorite. Who you got, Bill?
I'm taking Nevada on that one.
Jimmy?
I'll try Nevada.
I'm going to take San Jose State. Probably the first time I've ever picked against Nevada. The national pundits are playing this one up. Arkansas at Texas A&M. For some reason, a lot of people think Arkansas is going to be in this game, and that's why the line is not very much at all, right around that 8 or 9 right now for A&M. Jimmy, tell me something here.
Arkansas has played well. You know, they beat Northern Illinois real bad. You know, and they've competed well. You know, and I'm sure people aren't sold that A&M's that good yet. You know, I think that's what it's all about. Plus, when you get up there, Doug, around 13 or 14 points, you know, that's a big advantage. You know, I was telling the people that about Illinois. It gets up there too high. I don't care how much better you are than the other team. You got to get a turnover ratio of about 3-1 to cover.
Who are you taking?
I mean, taking A&M here.
Billy, who you like?
I'm taking A&M.
Oh, man. I can't do it. There's good to you, Jim. Good to you, Arkansas, and you pig sueys, if you wouldn't. I'm taking A&M. Here's another line I don't understand. Stanford at Washington. I'm taking Washington because I don't understand this. Stanford should win this by 28 points, and it's a touchdown ball game. For some reason, that's screwy. I'll take Washington. Jimmy, who you got?
Stanford.
Well, there you go. Bill, who you like?
I got to go with Stanford as well.
Minnesota at Michigan. Who you like in this one, Bill?
Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Awful.
Jimmy?
I'll take Michigan.
Yeah, I'm with you. Minnesota's quarterback out. They just have to ride Cobb. Michigan's ready to go on a run here. Might be a bad one, though. Maryland at Indiana. This could be the highest scoring game in Big Ten in a long, long time. In this game, I am going to go with Maryland to defeat Indiana. Bill, who do you have?
Oh, it's a coin flip. I'll go with Indiana.
Jimmy?
I'm going to go with Bill, Indiana.
Okay, two more to go. Duke at Miami of Florida could be for their division championship in the ACC. Jimmy, you go ahead and pick first.
You know, I was going to take Duke a week ago, but I like the way Miami of Florida played against Nebraska. I thought they had some athletic players and looked good out in the field, and they could stay out of some fights. Maybe they could finish the game. I'll take Miami of Florida.
Bill, who do you like here?
I refuse to pick a Florida school, so I'll go with Duke.
Man, I agree with you, Jimmy. Miami looked pretty good. If they play like that, I think they beat Duke. This is a game to see, was Duke a fluke last year, or are they for real? It seems like we pick the same ones and Bill goes the other way. I don't know if I like that too much.
That probably tells you something.
I'll take Miami. The problem is nobody's going to be at that game. And finally, Missouri at South Carolina. Jimmy, I want you to pick this one first because I don't understand. This is, South Carolina should be favored by way more than 6. What do you got?
I'm taking South Carolina.
Wow.
What was last year? I think last year's game ended in some controversy, and Missouri had an undefeated season going, had a chance for a national championship and the whole ball of wax. And I think South Carolina covered late and kicked a field goal in like an overtime. I can't remember it exactly, but I think that's what it is.
Billy, who do you got here?
Oh, I think I'm going to go with South Carolina as well.
Well, I'm not picking Missouri. I'm taking South Carolina. Tiebreaker, total points in the Nebraska-Illinois game. Total points in this one. I didn't even look. What is the over-under in this? Do you know, Jimmy? 65.5? I didn't see it wrote down there. Thank you very much. 65.5. Bill, what do you like here for the tiebreaker?
Oh, I'm right at 60.
Jimmy, what are you going with?
65.5.
Nobody thinks that this is going to be a low-scoring game. Remember last week, everybody thought it was going to be a low-scoring game, and it was high. This week, it's supposed to be a high-scoring game. I'm going to go a little bit lower than you guys. But, boy, I'm sure not sold. The more and more we talk about this, I'm not sold. I got to stay with Nebraska not covering. So, for some reason, they just don't score a lot of points. They're still going to look good. Maybe we see the backup running backs grind it out quite a bit. Maybe we see the clock move so we get out of there before midnight. I'll say Nebraska wins this one 13 or 17. I took 31-17 last week. I'm going to do it again. 31-17, so that's only 48 points. for me. Hey, Bill, congratulations. Already a winner for Big Daddy's Deli, and we'll see if you get the $30 in Cunningham's cash. Have a good weekend.
Hey, you too. Thanks.
All right, Jimmy, you've got to carry us because those picks I just circled, not good.
I think
mine aren't good.
Hey,
all.
You
not good.
You've been carrying us, and, you know, I think
it may come down to Fresno tonight.
Yeah, probably could. Yeah, isn't that something?
It's bad.
They're getting better. Fresno's getting better.
Couple of well, they have to, right? It's hard to get worse. A couple of things here. We got a couple of benefits going on over the weekend that we've been telling you about. Want to remind you, the Lizzie Stratton Memorial runs Sunday, 5 o'clock, beautiful Yanny Park. Go to carneycatholic.org for all the information. But registration, and you can register the day of the event, 4 o'clock. The 5K run and walk starts at 5. There's a kids' one-mile fun run after that at 6. It is Childhood Cancer Month, and it is the 8th annual Lizzie Stratton Memorial Run coming up Sunday, 5, Yanny Park. Also, a benefit fundraiser for Gibbons' Lori Gard will be tomorrow before the football game from 5 to 8 at the George Spencer Tasting Room in Gibbons. Live music by Broke Loose, a silent auction, food provided by Adams Corner Market. So if you can help out the Gard family, much appreciated. Tomorrow from 5 to 8 at the George Spencer Tasting Room in Gibbons. And that pretty much brings us to the end. Jimmy, any final comments on this long Friday, long week?
Kansas City Royals, looks like they're going to get to the wild card. You know, it's going to be interesting kind of right now. You know, they're kind of cheering against Oakland, but if Oakland plays Kansas City, the game's in Kansas City.
Yeah,
you know,
it would have to really fall apart.
Yeah, yeah, you know, so things look good. We'd have to go 3-0, and Detroit's got to go 1-2 just to even get a playoff game in on Monday.
Yeah, something weird has to happen.
Yeah, it just doesn't look like it's going to – looks like the Royals are going to get beat by a game, I would guess. You know, they get beat by one game. But, hey, a nice season. And, hey, the odds, you know, right now they're 64-1 that they'll get in at least. You know, they got a really good chance of getting in because Seattle has got to, you know, sweep, and we've got to get swept. The only way it can happen for us not to get in.
One of my dark horse playoff teams in the NCAA took a big hit last night.
Arizona State, yeah.
Well, they were ready to go up at halftime, a 95-yard pick six. Defensive touchdown, and the next thing you know, instead of Arizona State up at the half, they're down, and UCLA wins at 62-27. Yikes.
You know, UCLA has really probably leads the nation in turnovers for touchdowns this year. They had three against Virginia, you know, so they are really, their defense is really doing the job for them. And, you know, hey, that's what it takes sometimes.
Don't forget Husker Volleyball at Iowa tomorrow. Hastings and UNK both on the road tonight and tomorrow. And a homecoming at Hastings, best of luck there. Loper football down at Central Missouri. Football here on the airwaves. ESPN 1460, Kearney hosting Lincoln Southeast at 7. And on ESPN 1550, Adams Central out at Gehring at 8. It is Donovan Trumbull, Hastings, St. Cecilia on 1230 KHAS, 7 o'clock. And Wood River Gibbon, Bobby Bowden comes to town. We'll be there 7 o'clock tonight. Pre-game at 6:30, 30 minutes before all the games. Also, West Side at Grand Island. It is Northwest at Scotts Bluff. Hastings at Alliance. Central City at Central Catholic for the Tri-Cities teams. And Kearney Catholic hosting St. Paul. Gehring, Scotts Bluff, Alliance all at home against Adams Central, Hastings, and Grand Island Northwest. Great, great, great. Come on, United States. Let's get this Ryder Cup. Let's show those Euros. Let's get the Royals a win. Let's have a great weekend. Jimmy, I'll see you Monday, man.
Take care.
Don't forget, take TCU. 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 See you Monday.
You've been listening to a Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.